Good morning. My name is Aaron, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the FIBRA Inn conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Ms. Lisette Chang, Investor Relations Officer, for opening remarks.
Thank you, Darren. Good day, and thank you all for participating today in our review of FIBRA Inn's fourth quarter 2017 results. Please note that the earnings report was issued yesterday with an accompanying PowerPoint presentation, which are both available in the Investor Relations section of our website. We ask that you follow the information in these documents for a clearer understanding of our results. Also note that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call. These statements are based on management's current view and estimates of future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, and financial results. Let's turn to slide 2 of the presentation, where we can take a look at our agenda for the day. Taking us through these topics will be our presenters from FIBRA Inn, Mr. Oscar Calvillo, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Miguel Aliaga, our Chief Financial Officer. Thank you again for your attention, and we will begin for the highlights of the quarter, the first item on the agenda, and at this point I will turn the call over Mr. Oscar for his opening remarks.
Thank you, Lisette, and good morning, everyone. Thank you all for joining us today, and welcome to our call. Let's turn to page 4 to discuss our distributions. You recall, during the first quarter of 2017, the technical committee approved the process for calculating distributions to certificate holders in order to offer a more balanced payment schedule throughout the year. As a result, we have been distributing 25 pesos each quarter in order to reach our objective of a 1 peso distribution base per certificate for the year 2017. As a result of this measure, the distribution per certificate for the fourth quarter was 25.15 pesos, equivalent to a total of 110 million pesos, which resulted after excluding the accumulated amount of repurchased certificates. This represents a dividend yield of 8.9% when considering the fourth quarter closing price of 11.26 pesos per certificate. Now we can turn to slide 6 for an overview of the hotel industry for this year. 2017 was a year of market uncertainty and volatility that was mainly influenced by the macroeconomic environment and recent measures by the U.S. government with regard to fiscal policy and free trade agreements. We believe that 2018 will be a year of challenges for one side with NAFTA negotiations and the other side, Mexican presidential elections. With regards with the first topic, NAFTA, we are closely monitoring the evolution of the manufacturing industrial sectors, and we're seeing that the Mexican industrial sectors, which is really the motor behind room demand for the hotel industry in these markets, continues to perform in a favorable manner, even despite the fact that international trade regulations remain undefined. It is true that some of the larger industrial projects have stalled in Mexico. However, in general, room demand continues to strong, mainly in the deeper markets such as Guadalajara and Monterrey. Additionally, we concede that there are significant opportunities in other sectors that should not be overlooked, such as leisure hotels, aimed at the upscale markets. In terms of the elections in Mexico, we cannot forget that political campaigns generate significant demand for rooms in the hotel industry, and we expect this in the coming months to last until the end of June of this year. We also expect that the outcome of this election will inevitably give more certainty to the economy and will have a more defined second half of the year. Depending on the result of these commercial negotiations and the presidential campaigns, we could possibly see an impact on the exchange rate. However, as we have seen in FIBRA Inn's revenue performance, for us the exchange rate does not necessarily represent a risk since our rental revenues are partially dollarized. Additionally, we have not incurred any dollar debt. Occupancy continues on the rise, and we think there is even room to raise it to approximately 63% in a conservative macro environment. As such, revenue per available room could increase a bit over 100 basis points over inflation for 2018. Moving on to the slide 8, let's review investments for the year. The expected total estimated investment for the hotel acquisition pipeline model and for the existing hotels in the portfolio is for approximately $3.1 billion. Last week, fee-raising corporate governance committee met, and both the investment committee and the technical committee approved fee-raising's higher participation in the hotel acquisition pipeline projects. This decision took place after analyzing the updated market research studies of the JW Marriott Monterrey Arboleda and the Westin Monterrey Punto Valle, where we saw potential increases of the originally projected rate of more than 30%, the RevPAR, and the projected NOI. The basis of this report was updated almost 2 years after it was first presented, and was updated in terms of occupancy, parameters, rate, RevPAR, NOI generation, generation of fees, pre-operatives, exchange rates, inflation, additional square meters, and owner representative services, among others. As a result, for 2018, we expect that FIBRAIN will make investments of 1,168 million pesos. In order to raise the participation in the previously mentioned projects to 50%, this investment could be leveraged, of course, within the 33% loan-to-value limits of the FIBRA. Each one of these projects include the portion of FIBRAIN's own cash resources, the portion that could be financed with debt, whether it is that the FIBRA lever or leverage its specific project. The decision was made after considering that FIBRAIN must keep participating in attractive projects with significant barriers to entry in cities that are considered deeper markets. If we turn the page to slide number 9, FIBRAIN's investment statement is to carry out developments in projects under strategic hotel acquisition pipeline, where the markets and the types of hotels represent barriers to entry for competitors, as well as a high index of revenue dollarization, which includes implicit values fixed a lower cap rate than those that the trust has invested at in the past. This is supported with a recent HVS study in which full service, including luxury hotel sales, have been consistently priced at significantly lower cap rates. These represent investments in luxury full service hotels with potential sale cap rates in a range of 200 to 50 basis points below the development cap rates. As such, we have a pipeline of two other projects that could solidify in a relatively short period of time that are in the full-service hotel segment, valued approximately 1.5 billion pesos, that we will also share with third parties and in which another part will be financed. We are currently working on the design phase of this project, and we are closing binding agreements in terms of the land lots as well as the corresponding franchises as we speak. As soon as they become available, we will announce them. Please turn to page 10. In terms of the existing hotel portfolio, FIBRAIN expects to make a total investment of $383.5 million, of which 52 is for remodeling, 41% for property investment programs, 1% for compliance with international standards, and 6 toward the purchase of vehicles for the 32 hotels. Follow me to page 12, where we will go over the same strategic topics for the quarter. This past February 16, the extraordinary shareholders meeting took place where we lowered our requirement for the qualified majority for making certain decisions to 75% from the 89% of the total CBAs outstanding. This was due largely to the fact that some intermediaries do not have discretionary contracts with their holders, and even when they do have them, they do not consider it necessary to participate in some of the meetings. The average attendance at these meetings was about 79%, which is about the norm for this type of sessions. This change gives FIBRAIN added flexibility to make decisions and to continue to strengthen governance to place us as one of the best in class in the Mexican market. We continue to see the benefits of the internalization of the FIBRA, a process that took place last year. This was reflected in growth and adjusted EBITDA, as well as EBITDA margin, which compared favorably with that of last year. In 2017, we surpassed our expected marginal EBITDA goal for of $19.9 million, which will be accumulated in the years 2017 to 2019, for the calculation of the advisor compensation. G&A as a percentage of assets declined from 1.03 in 2016 to 0.77% in 2017. This ratio will be even more relevant as the FIBRA size increases in the future. The integration of FIBRA risk management has ensured the alignment of interest when new investments are made with the elimination of the advisory fee. In conclusion, we are simply sure that FIBRA is following the right path to the best, to be the best-in-class FIBRA. Please turn to slide 13. As of the end of the fourth quarter, the current standing was as follows. We have 43 hotels in our portfolio, 42 were in operation, and one under a rebranding process, the Casa Grande Ciudad Juarez, which will be converted into a Holiday Inn. In total, there were 6,944 rooms, of which 6,748 rooms were in operation. With regards to that one hotel that is under a rebranding process, 145 rooms are in a remodeling process, and 51 will be in addition of rooms as part of the upcoming Holiday Inn Ciudad Juarez. FIBRA Inn continues to be present in four market segments: limited, select, full, and the extended stay, throughout 15 Mexican states offering 15 global brands and 3 local brands. Additionally, the strategic hotel acquisition pipeline has 3 properties under construction: the JW Marriott Monterrey, the Marriott Monterrey Aeropuerto, and now the Westin Monterrey that will add 633 rooms in total. That is all for me. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Miguel Aliaga, our Chief Financial Officer, for the operational and financial review.
Thank you, Oscar, and good morning to everyone. As always, it is a pleasure to present to you our financial results for the period. As you have seen, we continue to be active in analyzing alternatives for rebalancing the portfolio in order to allow us to reach higher value generation. This is via the sale of certain assets. In terms of this, we remain active in the sale of certain non-strategic properties. However, we have not solidified any specific transaction. We have brokers coming to us with offers that are close to our price objective. However, we continue to analyze opportunities so as not to put pressure on the price and be able to sell at a fair level. This orderly process will maximize the value of the sale and will be announced as soon as it is formalized. The value of the hotel sales will be confirmed with the asset revaluation that just took place during this fourth quarter, and which will be explained later in more detail. The asset sale will enable us to recycle capital in order to follow the strategy of pursuing more assets with barriers to entry, and specifically in the full-service hotel type. We keep operating the share purchase program with a very specific strategy: to supply the market with stronger value levels for a security while offering liquidity to FIBRA Inc.'s holders. As such, at the end of the year, the repurchase fund has about 2.6 million certificates, those with no distribution rights, so the total distribution to be placed in the coming days will be divided among a lower number of certificates. It is important to mention that the company terminated its market maker operations as of February 19 of this year, and will only continue with the share repurchase program for the time being. Let's begin on page 15 with the financial highlights of the quarter. In terms of same-store sales, during the quarter, we reported positive results for our 42 comparable properties. This included a 6.2% increase in room revenue, 61.8% occupancy during the quarter. In terms of the average daily rate, this indicator reached 1,222.9 pesos, a 1.5% increase. RevPAR reached 755.9 pesos. On the one hand, during the quarter, we can see reflected the winter vacation period. We see a lower volume of business travel, causing even more pressure on pricing for competitive reasons. And in order to offset this impact to a certain extent, we sought to reinforce other channels in order to promote the hotels. There was a 4.4 peso appreciation of the dollar, which made it challenging for pricing, but occupancy levels grew by 2.6 percentage points to reach 6% growth in revenues per available room. We are always fine-tuning along the way to drive occupancy levels. As such, the current occupancy levels at Fibra Inns Hotel reflect a stabilized operating level, one that we believe is sustainable over time. Please turn to slide 16. Total revenues reached 492.1 million pesos, which is a 4.2% increase over the figure reported in the fourth quarter of 2016. 95.3% of this amount was comprised of room revenues, and 4.7% was from rental revenues. This was pretty much in line with fourth quarter 2016. Let's turn to the review of the income statement on slide 17. As we discussed, total revenue rose by 4.2% compared to fourth quarter 2016. Operating expenses was 64.9% as a percentage of revenue, decreasing 80 basis points when compared to the fourth quarter of 2016. This mainly due to a decline in advertising and promotion expenses due to the merging of the sales force of the Chihuahua hotels as part of synergies that resulted in only one team providing services to all 10 properties in that state, meaning a reduction in sales payroll and lower internet advertising as a result of changes in the strategy. NOI reached 172.6 million pesos, a 6.5% increase. That represented an NOI margin of 35.1% for the quarter. This represented an 80 basis points increase when compared to a 34.3% in the prior year. Moving down the table to the adjusted EBITDA, this was 157.8 million pesos, equivalent to a 32.1% margin, compared to the 28.1% margin of fourth quarter 2016. During this quarter, as mentioned before, we began the process of asset revaluation that will occur periodically each year. Since the initiation of the FIBRA, these were reported under historical value, which decreased along with accumulated depreciation and did not reflect the actual value of the fixed assets. With the application of IFRS, we initiated the process of revaluing the assets at a reasonable value using discounted cash flows based on the historic cash flow and the projected cash flow. Deloitte, via its asset valuation area, completed this task, and it will be audited by KPMG, our external auditor. Fibra Inc. considers that the result of the valuation creates a value equivalent to the net asset value that is used to value U.S. REITs. This exercise will take place each year, and the advantage is that the updated real performance of each hotel will be taken into account in order to keep updating projections, and this will be adjusted based on the results and not on the theoretical value. This offers us objective information regarding the intrinsic value of the Fibra's portfolio. Due to the relation of properties, there are 584.5 million pesos registered in the P&L as land and building impairment of some specific properties. That combined with the property revaluation surplus of 2.8 billion pesos registered in the balance sheet shows a comprehensive income of 2.1 billion pesos in the P&L and a 26.9% increase of the Fibra's net worth. FFO was 116.7 million pesos at 23.7% margin when compared to the 103.5 million pesos reported in the fourth quarter of 2016. Finally, holder distributions, as Oscar mentioned, will be equivalent to 25.15 cents per certificate, reaching an annualized dividend yield of 8.9%. Turning on page 18 for the balance sheet discussion, 509.6 million pesos in cash. There is a remaining balance of 43.5 million pesos in recoverable value-added tax that is still in the claiming process with the Mexican Tax Authority. To date, the company has released lines on all the hotels after the bank loan cancellation. As of December 31st, 2017, the outstanding balance of the FIN 15 issuance was 2,875.4 million pesos, maturing of September 24, 2021 at a nominal rate of TIIE of 28 days, plus 110 basis points. The balance considers the additional 1 billion peso that was issued in October 2016 at TIIE 28 days plus 130 basis points. with a discount on the nominal price for a total weighted rate of TA 28 days plus 117 basis points. At the close of the fourth quarter 2017, the gross debt cost was 8.15%, 66% covered with fixed rate swaps at a weighted rate of 7.81%, and 34% at a variable rate of 8.8%. As such, net debt cost was 8.39% considering the amortization of issuance expenses for 0.24%. FIBRA presents a 24.7% loan-to-value ratio as of December 31st, 2017. FIBRA has 66% of the bond debt covered with interest rate swaps, as mentioned before, contracting interest rates with three financial institutions. If you follow me in page 19, after fourth quarter 17, and in order to improve FIBRA's debt profile, the company conducted a new debt issuance, FIN 18, and the partial repurchase of FIN 15 through a tender offer as follows. A new debt issuance of unsecured trust certificates for 2 billion pesos at a fixed rate of 9.93% for a 10-year maturity due on February 2, 2028, with ticket symbol FIN 18. And at the same time, the company completed a debt tender offer whereby it completed a partial and early repurchase of about 18.7 million securities of FIN 15, which were due to mature in 2021 for a total of 1,875.4 million pesos. The new amount of the FIN 15 issuance is 1 billion, bringing the total amount of both issuances to 3 billion. The 124.7 million pesos from this transaction will be used for the settlement of expenses related to this transaction, the payment of current interest corresponding to the FIN 15 coupon, and the remaining will be invested in existing hotels. On the last page of the presentation, in slide 20, as of December 31st, 2017, the company had the option to take on additional debt, considering the current balance of cash and cash equivalents, for 1,250 million pesos without surpassing the 33% loan-to-value threshold set forth by the company's technical committee. 1.6 billion pesos is allocated to invest in the four properties pertaining to the strategic hotel acquisition pipeline. Commitments for this year can be covered with debt and at the project level or with current trade lines. At December 31st, 2017, we had 289 million pesos of net leverage capacity available after considering the already approved investments for 2018. For future investments, we could obtain resources from the sale of assets or finance this with the issuance of debt or even capital in the future. Thank you for your attention, and at this time we are ready for your questions. Operator?
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star, then one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, it is star, then one to ask a question. And we will take our first question from Marmar Torblanco with UBS. Your line is open.
Hey, guys. Good morning, and thanks for the call. I have a couple of follow-up questions on your decision to mark-to-market your portfolio. Can you tell us a bit why you decided to take this route instead of following what other hotel companies, your peers, do and keeping the balance sheet at historical cost? We understand that the gap from the market price or the market cap of the company and the market or mark-to-market value of the properties is big, but do you think that the volatility of your occupancy over time could generate volatility on the book value of your assets as well, and is this anything that concerns you? That's the first question, if you could give us some more color on how the decision was made and why. And the second question is if you could tell us a bit more in detail the assumptions behind the DCFs for this valuation of the properties and in which cases were the mark-to-market results negative. So which properties were the ones that had those 500 and plus million pesos losses when you mark to the market value?
Okay, thank you for your questions. I go one by one. Well, as you see, we have our value of our portfolio with that, just with the historical values with depreciation. And we anticipate that they will do that in the change after 5 years, more or less, because the inflation in our between 3 or 4 per year, it will come up to somewhere around 20% in a 5 year period. So we consider that it will be good to have them this process do it right now. Basically, if I can go with the IFRS, we the hotel companies or the hotel fibras are not investment properties. It's really manufacturing plant and equipment according to IFRS. I mean, that just should depreciate, you know? And that's what we did in these 5 years that we have already. In the future, we will continue with depreciation, but of the new coming value, because in our case, whatever goes is as a surplus goes directly to the equity, doesn't go to the P&L, as is in the other companies, the other fibers that goes, the difference goes is into the P&L. And we will continue the depreciation of a new basis according to the remaining life of the assets. So I think it was a good price to do so for. In the future, what's going to be, we will do the mark-to-market of the properties. This surplus will go directly to the equity, to the net worth, and then the depreciation goes direct to the P&L. And the thing is that we just considered that it was fair to do that, and in order to keep the more or less what is the value of the portfolio in that basis. Of course, you know that you get a point regarding that there's volatility in our performance, because the hotels, we don't have fixed contracts, and then you can have that could be going up or down depending on the performance of the portfolio. It certainly was kept in the last 5 years. All the time we have been in a property basis, on average, we are always trying to have at least 200 basis points ahead of inflation in growth of in the existing portfolio, which we have achieved that or even more. No? Yeah, that will be a point. Then going to the second question, most of the properties that have a negative impact are those that are in the coast of the Gulf of Mexico, which were the properties that we bought prior to the drop of the oil prices, which those markets turned down significantly. We have one hotel in the Veracruz state, and then we have three in the Tamaulipas. These three ones were the ones that have the biggest impact. There's another ones that we have in the central part of Mexico, where the small towns comes, many hotels open at the same time, then you have a hit to the performance of that market. That's why we're looking in the future to go for deeper markets so we didn't have these kind of situations coming forward. I don't know if that clears your question.
Thanks, Oscar. And then on the assumptions behind your DCFs, can you share if you're assuming like a stabilized occupancy that's different to the one you have, or if you're just assuming the existing occupancy, and what kind of discount rates are you using for the valuation?
Okay, Miguel, can you go ahead with that? You have more specific information at that point.
Yes, Marimar. Just to give you the insights of what the Deloitte used, it was a discount rate of 11.5%. The final numbers that we got were the lowest on the range of the projection. As you know, they have the high, the mid level, and the lowest. No? So we use the lowest to be more conservative. No? What is important also to mention is a 10-year projection, terminal cap rate of 9%, and they used a growth of rates of 200 basis points over inflation, but only on the hotels that have reached decent occupancy levels. The ones that have still are in process of ramp up, the assumption is only growth on tariff similar to inflation. So as you may see, what we took, and in order for you, as answering the question also on volatility levels, we believe that even taking this conservative scenario, it's the most conservative one on the range, we believe that, of course, we will reduce that possibility on any volatility. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes, thank you. That's all.
And we can take our next question from Alejandro Levine with Citigroup. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call. I have a couple of questions, please. The first one on the hotel factory. So what is the timeline that you expect of these new hotels being acquired by Fibra Inn in the midterm, or even in maybe some of these hotels like the Westin could drop in this year? And also how these fees from the factory could contribute to revenues? That would be the first question. And the second would be on the dividends per share. So you have in 2017, you paid dividends in excess of adjusted FFO, right? So is this initiative something that you feel comfortable with and something that you expect to continue going forward? Thanks.
Okay, going to the first question. Basically, we have the price that we have publicly announced. The Westin, that hotel will open this year, by the end of this year. That's the one that we're acquiring, and it will be acquired at the day it's open. Then we have the Marriott at the airport. We'll start construction to the middle of this year. That will be open in more or less in the second part of 2019. Then the JW Marriott will start construction also the middle of this year, but that will take a little bit longer. That will start operations in the first part of the year 2020. Of course, these hotels we in a ramp up, so their impact at the beginning that will be not more significant, but in the long run they will be extremely significant because some of these hotels are in the cap rates anywhere more of 12 or 14, even at 15%, considering the fees that the FIBRA is charging. So yes, in the future, the impact of this performance of these hotels will be very, very significant. And we are owning the 50% of these ones. We consider they're very attractive investments. Will completely turn out the way the FIBRA is perceived. When we have these more properties, as you can see in the page number 9 of our presentations, all the cap rates when all the sales of properties of the full-service hotels in the United States in the last 5 years, they have much lower cap rates than the select service and the limited service hotels. So we invest in this. The value of their portfolio will be enhanced significantly. And as Miguel mentioned, we might get rid of some hotels that are not really providing that much value to our portfolio in order that we have a much, much better quality portfolio with significant, really good brands in deep markets. That will change completely the view of our FIBRA. That will not take overnight, but we are in the process of that, and of course we are in a long-term play. Is that the way we're looking into our strategy? That was the first one. The second, okay, you can go with that, Miguel.
Sure. Hello, Alejandro. Yes, the second question about the dividend per share that we are paying in excess of the adjusted FFO, yes, the idea is to, or the strategy behind that is to try to reduce the volatility over the quarters and, of course, not to pay over the adjusted FFO. The strategy in order to reducing the gap is, of course, the sale additional revenues, extraordinary revenues, such as what Oscar mentioned, strategic sales of non-strategic assets, revenues coming from the hotel strategic pipeline, for example, that is becoming available for sure in 2018, and some more extraordinary opportunities, maybe financial strategies that we will be following. But of course, the final decision, and we are doing the exercise, will be taken on our internal committees, the auditing and the technical committee. So of course, you will have this news, or you will know about this if we continue to follow this same strategy. Of course, when we report the first quarter 2018. No, but that's part of the idea. But as I always mention, well, we need the approval of our internal committees.
And if I understand well, the fees that you generate from the hotel factory could also contribute to dividends per share growth, correct?
Yes, at some point on, and it will depend on each one of the agreements, on the closing the agreements. But again, it's the sum of everything, you know, as I mentioned, no? The sale of some assets and some other opportunities that we have to generate extraordinary dividend, extraordinary revenues. No, so that's that the sum of all that will finally give us the opportunity to pay 100% of the adjusted FFO, but also with the strategy to reducing the volatility over each one of the quarters, no? Because in the past we even paid the same amount, but there was a lot of volatility because one quarter we paid a little more than expected, and the second quarter, the next quarter, we paid less than expected, but on the average it was exactly the same as expected, for example, no? So that's part of the idea.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star, then one on your touchtone phone. We'll pause briefly for any additional questions to queue. Again, that's star, then one. At this time, there are no additional questions. I'd like to turn the program back to Mr. Calvillo.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your participation today and your continued interest in FibraHotel. We look forward to speaking again in this forum as we discuss the full year results. In the meantime, we will be striving to attain our goals and driving shareholder value. Have a good day. Thanks very much. Goodbye.